Now let's talk immediately and directly about consideration itself. We have been talking quite a bit about this, and let's find out that we don't quite mean agreement and disagreement when we say consideration. Now, at last, let's talk about a first dynamic. Having looked over and found out that the thetan plus body is a third dynamic situation, that the body itself is a third dynamic situation, and actually, thetan plus his own machines is to some degree a third dynamic consideration, let's find out what a first dynamic would be. It would be a production unit of space and energy, which is not only capable of creating space, energy, and objects, but is also capable of converting existing energies and objects and confirming spaces. Now, it's capable of all of these things, but its best and foremost capability is its production of space? No. Production of energy? No. Objects? No. Production of ideas, postulates, and a consideration of those ideas and postulates. And when we get all through, we find out that one of the highest functions there is unfortunately, opinion. What's your opinion of the matter? Well, now instead of opinion, we'll use consideration. Now you see, when we get agreement, this means two, minimal number, energy, space, object, but primarily consideration, production units, confronting each other to find out whether or not they are in parity of consideration. And when we get disagreement, we get the fact they are confronting each other, but they have decided that there is no parity of consideration. Well, now let's get affinity. Affinity would be the degree of duplication which they're capable of, one from the other, back and forth. And if they're very, very capable of this, of course they could be the same or different beings with great ease. We get this mirrored all the way down the tone scale. We get valences, valence shifting. We get all sorts of things. And this is all based on the fact of whether or not they're able to duplicate or not able to duplicate. Now, when we get over to communication, we have entered into the possibility that they are totally capable of duplication and are totally capable of being each other, and are totally capable of a spontaneous agreement or disagreement, at which time you would get no value for distance. No value. Well, that's the infinity end of it. Now, these two consideration production units might have become so intimately involved in continuous efforts to keep that distance stretched into continuous disagreements, you might say, into not duplicating, into not having any affinity one for the other, such a total concentration upon individuality, that they have at last, by resistance to each other, identified, and again you get the bottom of the scale, which is no distance. So we get total capability with no distance necessary, and we get no ability with distance impossible. Now you get these two things. Now each unit, thus identifying each other, must have considered that the other one was not duplicatable for the two of them to have merged to this degree at the bottom of the scale. You'll get somebody who will spontaneously and immediately shift valences at the least provocation. You know, you come in and you say something to him, and if you were to listen to him a moment afterwards, why, he's in your valence. But he didn't know he was doing it. That's the sadness of it all. And that's the test of it. Then we walk up somebody who's a very able actor. And a few minutes later, we find out he's doing a perfect duplication of us. He knows he's doing it. Entirely different operation. So we get the difference between what we call the top and the bottom of the tone scale. An auditor who makes this error, and there is an error here, possible, that one can consider the bottom of the tone scale the top of the tone scale, he discovers such interesting things as somebody rushing around maintaining their tone eights, but not really designating which side of 0-0. Minus 8, probably. And we get these individuals totally convinced that they are utterly capable of tremendous things and the demonstration of none of them. See, we get this kind of a condition. We get a condition of complete merger, almost complete merger, willy-nilly, shilly-shallying through existence, turning into any winning valence that turns up, and so on, and the individual going right on, one way or the other, maintaining flagrantly and blatantly that he is an individual. Yes, sir, and he's just shifting back and forth and around and spinning into one valence and another valence and so forth. Utterly unself-determined. The only thing he's become determined about is to be the only one. That he's determined about. And the more determined he becomes to be the only one, the more inevitably and invariably he will shift and change into others. So we get the only one is trying to assume and assemble and pack into a unit all eight dynamics simultaneously. And we will get this individual totally able to communicate with himself but completely unable to communicate to others. That is the end product of this as a look-see. Well, we have the dwindling spiral in this. It's not really necessary that the spiral keep dwindling forever. An individual can get out of the mass of energy he's in and forget all about it and become another being entirely and start a new life. We see this all the time with children. They would disown the idea they'd ever been anybody else, and they're just themselves, and that's that. Well, they've started over again, but these things can jam up one way or the other, whereby you've just done this one too many times, you start to get hangovers, you start to hang up in past lives and so on. What the Thetan is trying to do is run a cycle of action. He's trying to have some time, and in the effort to have time results in this cycle of action of create, persist, and desist, and cease to exist. Now we get consideration operating here as the total factor involved. Unfortunately, the total factor involved. Does he consider that he's in this condition? Yep. Why is he in this condition? Because he considers he is. This is not backwards. What we have omitted from earlier studies in the field of spiritualism and other lines that tried to examine the mind and spirit, what we have omitted from those things is that self-determinism was possible. They were low-tone studies, just to that degree. It never occurred to them that a person could actually determine his own considerations independently and by himself. And so they were utterly dependent upon all other considerations. You take the science of physics, and the science of physics brings about a state of mind by which an individual is always sure that it's been done before if you thought of it. An original consideration's impossible. That is the motto of the physicist. It all depends on somebody else's consideration. That's another determined consideration. So we could have this as the key of a case that an individual has himself determined that only other considerations were valid. And that is his consideration. And if we're looking for any button anywhere up and down the line, that would be the button. If we could directly process that button and wouldn't run into an 18-year communication lag by trying to reach it, why, it'd be perfectly all right. That was the one we'd head for. The consideration that only other people's opinions were valid. That'd be the make-break point. There'd be an earlier one than that, that other people did have some considerations which were valid. That would be the fall away from the first dynamic. Now, because he has led a social life and probably will continue to do so for the sake of randomity, because a consideration is that a person, and this again is just a consideration, that an individual must have motion and he must have things to interest him and must have this, must have that. This is consideration too. But allowing that consideration, he will continue to stay in a third dynamic situation. He won't necessarily associate with the total universe all the time. He'll associate with a certain group inside the universe. Now, where the auditor comes in on this is that an individual has come down the line and has become convinced of his considerations. Now, what is this conviction? Conviction actually depends, more or less, upon a solid, inseparable agreement of one kind or another. Now, an individual has agreed with another consideration to such a degree that he is convinced. And conviction itself actually is an entrance point into other determinisms. An individual already, though, has to have considered the existence of other determinisms. There's a point on the track, which you could reach with any preclear, where he needs no ARC, and he hasn't any contact with no ARC. Negative ARC. He not only hasn't any affinity-reality communication on the third dynamic, you see, but neither does he have any dislike, disagreement, or miscommunication. He doesn't have any of these factors. It's only when he starts in to have liking, agreeing, and communicating that he can then get disliking, disagreeing, and miscommunicating. You see, he has to have gone into the fact that there is a third dynamic before he can have one. Now, there is your first dynamic. And you will occasionally see this first dynamic in a fairly pure form. You get some Thetan, you get him exteriorized, you chase him around for a little while, and he starts spotting his machinery and centering it and blowing it up and doing this and that with it. You'd be quite surprised to have him go out of communication entirely. This would be very surprising. He won't stay out of communication for long because it's dull, and he already considers that he has to have something to interest him in existence. And if you were to bust that consideration, too, and break that down, well, you would have effected a first dynamic, and you would have gotten a totality on this subject. It isn't that a first dynamic form is desirable, but it does follow that affinity, reality, and communication carries with it a liability. It carries... you might say, misaffinity and disagreement and miscommunication as a liability, or, what do you know, as part of the game. And we've got to enter into that game, however, through this track of consideration. So what are you trying to do with the preclear? Let's not get long drawn out about this. You're trying to get this preclear to assess his own considerations. First, you point some out to him by the process of processing, and this is about the most indirect evaluation that you could possibly pull on anybody. He doesn't recognize he's having anybody evaluate for him, and yet that's really what's happening. Your auditing commands are directing him and forcing him, actually, in a certain line, and he picks up considerations which he knows he has and which are himself true for his period of life and for the state he is in. And he looks at these things and he says, for gosh sakes. What's he say also? He says, this is mine. No matter how ugly that consideration is, he says, this is mine. Now, that's what you're looking for in certainty. It's that moment when he gets this consideration, he finds out that the wildest effort that he could possibly engage in would be watching a feather being blown by somebody else. That'd be the wildest effort he could engage in. But he recognizes that if that is true, and if that is the consideration he happens to be operating on, then he has a recognition for it, and this recognition factor is an ownership factor. And he says, hey, he said, look at that consideration, it's mine. And that's what he says. And he says, also, for God's sakes, and this couldn't be myself, and so forth, anything he wants to protest about, he'll come back to the point of saying, this is mine. The second he says he puts himself in the position of granting it beingness, and the moment he grants it beingness, it vanishes. Because the definition of randomity is no granting of beingness as well as predicted and unpredicted motion. Refusal to grant beingness and randomity are practically synonyms. So the second he says the consideration is there, he's granted it beingness. His recognition then is granted it beingness, and it has been imbued, you might say, with his life. It'll collapse at that moment. Because it can't stay at a stretch. It just can't stay way out there. It's got to depend on some other determinism to have entered into it to get a communication distance. So we've got a problem here. We got a problem here of recognition. And this is the mechanism back of the effort of the auditor to get the preclear to recognize something. And the impatience of the auditor, the guy is obviously sitting there in his father's valence. He's just gone over this. This fellow has a continual obsession for clearing his throat. He said, and you say to him, now, who used to clear his throat? Who used to clear his throat obsessively, you know, all the time, clear his throat and so on. Well, thinks for a long time, and he says, well, my father used to. And the auditor says, well, who used to? Well, can you remember a time when your father cleared his throat like that? And the preacher says, yes. And the orator says, well, a damn fool, that's his, he should recognize that that is his father's throat clear. Well, the auditor was going in the wrong target. If the auditor had some way to convince him that it was his own throat clear, it would have vanished at that moment. He didn't really have to trace it to his father. So with the entrance of the philosophy granting a beingness into Scientology, we really stopped examining the past. And you wonder why we don't concentrate on the past anymore. After all, psychotherapy and the past are synonymous, aren't they? 1894, libido theory, Breuer, Jung, Adler, anybody you want to think of in the field of psychotherapy, past. We don't worry about the past anymore. The less we do about the past, the happier we are. There isn't any reason to drag the guy back down the time track. That's where he is. Why drag him back there? Well, you can and could in Dianetics drag him back to the exact point where he was on the time track and his recognition that he had coincided two points and recognized that this was his incident would blow it. You see, we'd get a simultaneous reaction there. Again, a granting of beingness. But why get this granting of beingness in the past if all the present is composed of is a consideration? It's really idiocy, then, to address the past. What you want is the individual to assess the existing state. If the existing state also includes some of the past, you don't even have to worry about blowing the past out of the existing state. The existing state's always going to include some of the past. And it'd be whether or not the individual was willing to confront any part of the past, which would establish his comfortableness in the existing state of the present. So the recognition of the ownership of the consideration. You know, he says, that's mine. That's my consideration. No matter what that consideration is, will start him immediately into a desire to change it. So he recognizes that his total concept of effort, the only possibility he had in the line of effort, was somebody else blowing a feather, and his concept of effort is he's willing to watch it. I ran a pretty clear not too long ago whose total effort was to cast a shadow. That was the highest effort he could contemplate without getting rather ill. And yet this fellow had always considered himself a good workman and a hard-working man and all that sort of thing. Under great assurance and protest and so forth, he was a hard-working man. He couldn't consider any effort at all. Consider the effort an effort to cast a shadow, and that was the amount of it. Now, running it in a bracket, we found out there were a lot of other people around who had signs of other considerations about it. But at the same time, that was somebody else's consideration, isn't it? So what was his own consideration? His own consideration must have been earlier than that somebody else's consideration was valid on this subject. Well, if you were to run this in a bracket, now find an effort somebody else could tolerate or something of the sort. Then he gets the consideration over there, you see. And he could trace that back and fall back into a point where he had the original consideration that there were others. And this has a tendency to blow out, and then and only then can we really accept that there are others, which is an interesting thing. We have then recognition consisting of mainly willingness to assume the responsibility for, or the identity of, or the same spot as, or the consideration of anything. And we have our case progressing along to the degree that he picks up these certainties, we call them. Certainty? What's a certainty? It's a recognition of ownership. That's my consideration. And when he says, that's my consideration, and that is my consideration, you then have a certainty. Well, if we ask him to consider on the component parts of existence which exist as common denominators arising out of complexities of considerations which are themselves the track, why, he will cut right back on the line. And if we take these common denominators one after the other, what do we find? We find one after the other, he'll start blowing basic considerations which he has in an ill-advised moment considered. And we blow that, and the course of auditing is then he starts to consider other things exterior to himself and considers things in brackets, you know, considerations of others, and he inspects these things, he accepts them, he gets bigger and bigger certainty, and there's where you as an auditor have to be right there and alert. Make sure that he's certain. He's liable to give you a lot of yum, 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 with no certainty in it at all. What he wants is recognition factor without even explaining it to him. And he'll peel off these considerations one after the other, one after the other, and he all of a sudden will come to a basic consideration on the subject of energy, which he's holding there suspended, motionless, you might say, fixed, irrevocably, unchangeable forever. This is part of the consideration. Part of the consideration is it must persist. And all of a sudden, that one blows. And boy, you got a free boy when you do that. What are you looking for as an auditor? You're just looking for this fellow to backtrack his considerations up to the point where he hits basic track considerations. He'll hit them. Sooner or later, he'll hit them. And it has to be a gradient scale because he can't own everything at once. It'll swamp him. There are too many communication lines, and he considers he can't consider that much at the same time. And as a result, why, he says, I've got to take one thing at a time, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. He has a certain code of behavior. Now, you get him back to stuff which is earlier and more significant and less directional, I mean, from you, than anything like Scientology. You will find that it is on these basics of Scientology, because these are the things which lead back this little minor series of explosions, of blow-ups, ownerships of considerations, and you start blowing up the whole track. And these are the basic considerations. So Scientology actually could have been called, in its furthest search, the search for the basic common considerations which man has considered, which has gotten him into the state he's in. And this was the search. What are these considerations? And we have a condition here whereby we can audit an individual and actually throw the third dynamic full on. He has to be able to agree, disagree, have affinity, dislike and like. He has to have a freedom of considerations. We're not trying to make him dislike things. We're trying to get him free of the consideration that he can't dislike things. See? We're not trying to force him into a mode of existence. We're just trying to get him to consider things as they are. Now, your preclear comes to you, an expert, to be audited. Now, he wants to know whether or not the things you're auditing on him are ever going to do anything to him. Well, what you're auditing on him is what got him in that condition, and the proof of that is he's there, isn't he? You see, he's sitting there, isn't he? He is a preclear, but more than that, he is Homo sapiens. He is here on Earth. He's in this universe. He's here in present time. Well, how the dickens did he get here? See, that's his main puzzle, by the way. How did he get here? And when you first start in on him, his ARC triangle is so inverted that it's other determination that put him here. And that's what he processes best. Other determinations. His considerations are this, that, the other thing, this, that, the other thing, and so on. And they did it to him, and yep, that's the way it is, and who forced this on me? And then he gets that peeled off, and you're just right back on up the scale to a point of where you get some of the considerations he himself made. He recognizes his agreement points along this line. Well, it's a rather automatic process, mostly because what's wrong with him is the bundle of communication wires and lines and distances and considerations that he's sitting there with. That's what's wrong with him, and you're trying to get him oriented in the midst of his own considerations. Of course, his basic consideration about that is he's disoriented. He has to assume that he's disoriented before he can get lost. Anybody is. All right, by the way, you could walk up to somebody who thinks he's perfectly well situated in life and get him to change his considerations that he was. Make a pauper out of him. People do that all the time. This is a common operation. You poor fellow, you work too hard, et cetera, sympathy, various this is and that is. And we get the individual changing his mind again, saying, well, I'm not all right. This is rather appalling to a person to realize that he can change his mind that easily and that sweepingly with that much effect. And that is one of the reasons your preclear sits there keeping it persisting. Keeping those considerations persisting because he's afraid of the tremendous result. He considers that tremendous, awful, horrible things can occur to him as a liability and nothing else for having let go of any consideration. Time, a consideration. Supposing he just let go of all time as a consideration. He thinks he'd drag himself out along the track. See, he thinks there's a scarcity of these considerations. Well, now, a scarcity of consideration, a scarcity of other determined consideration, is this process we've been talking about called significance. And if you want to analyze significance and find out what it's all about, we'll look at it as a scarcity or an significance, just translated into considerations we've been talking about, we get about the same thing. Now, what would be one way of inverting this triangle? We just handle as an automaticity the fact that all existence has been considering him for a long time. Let's say this fellow has a somatic. He has a stomach somatic. So let's have him set up something out here which considers all sorts of things about his stomach. Add significances, meanings, reasons why. In other words, considerations of any kind or breed about his stomach somatic. And boy, you'll get the fanciest somatics turning on and off you ever saw. In other words, you take over the automaticity of the environment in considering him. You have him get the idea of these masses and ridges he's sitting in and all that sort of thing, that there are considerations being put into those things by the environment, that this ridge right in front of him here, you get him to get the environment considering that ridge is a ghost, it is a dog, it is a devil, it is something which he has collected, it is something which is no blame of his, it is a schoolhouse that's sitting there, it's a cow, it's teeth, this is actually an energy posit caused by an explosion. Consider it, put a new consideration in, a new consideration, all of a sudden this mass of energy just goes, nyah, without particularly upsetting his having this, because he's having this in the first place as a consideration. So when we start remedying any one of these things, we get a scarcity of consideration. He hangs on to old considerations because he thinks he's now incapable of making new ones. You've got to get him into practice making new ones. He'll never have any imagination unless you rehabilitate his ability to consider. Let's take a chair and say, all right, now let's consider this chair. And the fellow says, all right, I'll consider the chair. And you say to him, as an auditor, you say, all right, consider it has a lot of purposes. Well, it's to sit in. Real imaginative thing. Then real happily, furnish the room. Add color to the room. And we get him on down the line. It's to house dogs. It's to tie neckties. That's what its purposes are. Its significance is that a god sat there once, and it is disguising an invisible plaque, which remarks the fact. And then we get wilder and wilder, and he finally starts to line charge about the whole thing. You know, chairs will never tire him after that. He probably won't even fall on one. If he considered it a little bit further, he probably from then on would simply know chairs were there and would never see one again. So you could just take over the automaticity that everybody is evaluating for him and make him evaluate for himself. On a mock-up basis, have him have things out here which are putting purposes, significances, considerations in about him all the time. Have him get the idea of somebody out here saying, it's a bum, it's an animal, it's a fish, it's a bird, anything that comes to mind, and you're taking over the automaticity of the whole environment evaluating from him. Now, you've done an overt act on this, by the way. Every time you evaluated for anybody, you did an overt act. You added to this basis of consideration, and these themselves have a tendency to fold up and run away when you start evaluating for yourself, or have a preclear evaluate for himself. When you say evaluate for himself, however, there's a little mechanical way of doing it. You have the environment start evaluating from, or his engram bank evaluating from. And what are all these engrams doing anyhow? They're warning him and telling him that certain conditions exist and that this is a consideration and to be alert to it. They're getting attention for their consideration. And he is capable of putting any consideration he wants to into that engram bank. And when he puts enough of them in and gets himself convinced again and anew considers that he is free to consider, the bank disappears. And that is a method of gaining a clear.